You have a Bible, I would invite you to turn to Luke's Gospel. Just going to read two verses from Luke's Gospel, but later you might refer to verses 1 through 24 of chapter 10. This evening, I just want to read for us verses 21 and 22 of Luke chapter 10. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Pastor Kim and I are old friends, but I have to admit, he's the much older friend. And with his advancement over me, I'm going to keep things simple. I have four takeaways so that he can remember them, and I'll even give him a copy later because it's starting to happen. Yep. Charge is far different than a sermon. It's shorter. Thank you. Glad for that. Usually you don't go into the text near as deeply, and usually it's 2 to 4 points that come. Well, my thoughts come from all these verses that I pointed to in Luke chapter 10. If you have time to read it later, it would be wonderful. Pastor Kim, I haven't asked you this question, but I could surmise a little bit. If you were to name some of your favorite preachers throughout history, I would imagine that Martin Lloyd-Jones would be up there. I know you've done a lot of reading there. John Owen, who is a favorite of yours, and John Calvin would be another one there. But I would add to your Hall of Fame of preachers the 72 that are here from the Gospel of Luke. Not necessarily that they were the greatest preachers ever, but they were taught by the greatest preacher ever. And what we have in Luke 24 is the instruction of the world's greatest homiletic instructor, the Lord Jesus himself. And here he is in Homiletics 101 with them. And so I have four things to call your attention to, and there could be more as well. The first takeaway I have for you, Pastor Kim, is that the mission of spreading the gospel takes priority and precedence over your own comfort. I know you all too well. I know that you're a hard worker, and usually I have to get after you for working too hard to take time off to refresh yourself because a burned out preacher is no advantage to him, his wife, or to the congregation at large. And so take that proper time. But where do we get this lesson that it takes priority, the message, over your own comfort? Well, we could say simply in Jesus' instructions earlier in chapter 10 to travel light, to not bring a purse. I'm glad he said that. Not to bring an extra tunic. And when you go to the first home you arrive at, not to lobby for better accommodations, even if it's at the Hoekstra's. No, your comfort is less important than your message, than proclaiming Jesus. Pastor Kim, you are a man with a mission, and that mission is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, congregation, you hear this, you might think that your job now is to keep them from getting too comfortable. Well, before you get all excited about that, I want to say simply, that is not your job. Your job is that, not that, that is God's job to keep them from getting too comfortable and keep them humble. Your job is to look after his comfort so there's not worldly care. You might look at Pastor Kim as Reverend Ox. He is your ox. You can call him from time to time then. And the Bible says don't muzzle your ox, so pay him well. Your job is to take care of him, and his job is to take care of the gospel. Pastor Kim, you are a man on a mission, and that mission is the gospel and the glory of Christ, and it's not about you. but it's about Him. Praise be to His name. Takeaway number two is realize the great stakes, my friend, in your preaching. As been noted already, you are setting before people life and death, heaven and hell. You are a steward of that message, a steward who will be accountable to the Lord. But you must realize their response doesn't depend on you. Yes, you are to persuade men, like the Apostle Paul did, to plead with them. But the gospel that you preach is a savor unto life and a savor unto death. And you must remember at all times that you are not the Holy Spirit, and you cannot begin to do His work. And recognize the stakes that are going on. Sometimes the people with the greatest privileges and the greatest gospel testimony reject it. Like the 72 in Jesus' day, as they went around, they were stiff-armed as they went preaching the message of the gospel. Earlier in this chapter, in Luke chapter 10, there were some cities mentioned, Sodom and Gomorrah, some of the worst cities around. You might say that was Chicago. Oh, please don't say that. I'm from there. Or you might say it's San Francisco, or it might be Hollywood, or wherever you would put it. But interesting what our Lord says there, that on the final day, what will happen, it will be easier for Sodom and Gomorrah than for those who have been given privileges and yet reject the Christ of those privileges. Chorazin and Bethsaida enjoyed the greatest preacher ever, Jesus, the 10th chapter of Luke says. And then there were those cities of Tyre and Sidon. If you go back in your Old Testament history, those were the worst of places, enemies of the people of God, luxurious, all taken up with materialism and other things. But they will have a less dramatic judgment than the people that sit under your ministry, Pastor Kim, and those who are in this town who receive the gospel but don't respond and embrace the Christ that you preach. There are great stakes in your preaching. Pray that the Lord would use that message whatever way He sees fit, but pray that He would use it powerfully in the lives of people. Third takeaway. Rejoice, Pastor Kim, in your rich salvation more than the results of your ministry. The disciples come back from this preaching tour, and they're all jazzed up because they were healing people and casting out demons, and they were jazzed about the demons submitting in Jesus' name. Jesus Himself said that He saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. Quite an impressive happening. Today in church plant or church development, there are the typical markers of ministry, the metrics by which things are measured. Some of them are important at times and places, but there are things like budgets and bodies and buildings, as Scott Clark speaks about. Things that you would expect really bring value to yourself in your ministry. But don't find your identity in them. Lord willing, you will have victories and good experiences. Satan will be crushed under the Lord's feet. The Lord will put enmity between you and between God's seed, Christ's seed, and Satan's seed, and Satan himself. But those things are minor in comparison. Your joy should not be over the success of your ministry, but in that sovereign, sweet grace that has written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, the gift of grace, the gift of eternal life, a home with the Lord in His presence, and the enjoying of God unto all eternity, the God of salvation, that's where your ultimate joy should be. Jesus says, Pastor Kufis, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. That you have, in a sense, a salvation with unspeakable glory. Rejoice in that above all things. Now, the last one. This is only the fourth one to remember. The fourth takeaway is to rejoice in the Father's hidden and surprising ways, in his inscrutable ways, in his surprising grace. As we read in Luke 10, it said in verse 21, in that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Pastor Kim, share in Trinitarian joy. Share in the joy of Jesus. Realize salvation is an incredible gift, a gift above all things. And Pastor Kim, sometimes those who have life much most together, those that we think we would give our IT to have part, our teeth to have part of the church plant or the church, those who are articulate, theologically astute, tremendously gifted, are the people that we really want. But change your value system. Not that God might not give you some of them. Those are often the ones that our Lord bypasses. Realizes he chooses those of little account, as he did with the Corinthians. Recognize that it is a sovereign decision of the Father and of the Son to reveal himself to this person. Realize it is a sovereign decision by the Father and by the Son as well, that the ways of God are amazing. They are unspeakable and unquestionable. Early in my ministry, I was pastoring, not that long ago, it was only a few years back there. I was pastoring a very difficult church. The main Sunday school teacher could quote John Calvin and your friend John Owen. Nothing wrong with Calvin and Owen. I loved them. He could quote them from ministry. He was impressive, but he was rotten to the core. But the Lord was faithful along the way. God sent us people that he impacted by his sovereign grace. Unlikely candidates. One was my friend Bob. Bob would seem to be the last candidate for salvation. You'll understand in a moment. Please don't hold this against me, but he was a used car salesman. It was his occupation. Forgive me if you have been one or are one. Not the highest in the category for honesty. But Bob was a womanizer, and he was a bar closer for 25 years. And then one day, the Lord got his attention and redeemed him. The least likely guy that you would find on God's A-team, but Bob was on his A-team. One day, some years after his conversion, I was having breakfast with Bob in a local restaurant. There was a morning paper of this small city, and the headline for the small city read like this: 32 people arrested in gambling and prostitution sting. Bob and I talked about it a little bit. Bob gets the attention of the waitress and then shows the waitress the headline of the paper. And the next thing he said was shocking. He said, those are all my old buddies until Jesus Christ got a hold of my life. The waitress could not but be made to think, because Jesus is the great revealer of the Father. What amazing grace. And Pastor Kim, I know you do this, but continue to do this. Value the little people. Value the messed up people. Because God works in his mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And God works in the most unlikely of places and the most unlikely of people. First in you, Reverend Kufis, in the people of Monroe County, OPC. Christ has graciously revealed himself to you, to Barb, to the people gathered here. Jesus' wonderful revelation and the Father's wise concealing. What a joy and what a stupendous privilege to know the Lord, and a lesson never to forget, to always keep in mind, even in those times when you even have to shake the dust off your feet. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you, Lord of heaven and earth, creator of all things, the one who hides things from the sophisticated and reveals them to children. Father, we stand in my amazement over how you do that. And Lord Jesus, we stand in amazement how you choose to reveal yourself to people and how you, O Holy Spirit, work in the hearts of people. Lord, we stand amazed as we look back on your grace in our own lives and your grace in the people gathered here, Father. We pray for our brother, Pastor Kim, and we pray that you would strengthen him in the inner man, that, Father, he might be faithful to the end, that he might preach the glories of Jesus, that he might be a man on a mission, O Lord, not that he ever takes a break or never has fun, Lord, but he might realize your call upon his life. And that you might bless him in that calling as an instrument, O Lord, to bring the savor of the gospel, a savor unto life and death. Father, we pray for this congregation that you would bless them through his ministry. That, Father, you would gain the glory and the praise. We praise you, Lord, for grace. What amazing gospel you have given to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.